KBS Publishing, in conjunction with rstuttle.com, proudly presents... Demonkin, Volume 4 of the Demonstone Chronicles, written by Richard S. Tuttle, read by the author. Prologue. The forest was dark and foreboding. The tall ancient trees rose like huge pillars to blot out the sun and cast a deathly gloom over the forest floor. But the inhabitants of the woods would have it no other way. It was a paradise for the demons that dwelt in the expansive area known as Balmaka, and there was no finer retreat in the entire universe of Helva. Scores of demons relaxed in the forest as time sped by. Occasionally a squabble would erupt between two rivals over some trivial matter, but such entertainment was usually short-lived. For the most part, the existence of the demons had been boring since the imprisonment of Alyutar over 1,000 years before. For a while, after the defeat of their master, the demons continued their duties, but the enthusiasm did not last long. Eventually, the majority of the demons accepted a life of leisure, rather than traveling between the universes, sowing discord and mayhem. So it was that the demons were unprepared for the destruction of the universes. As the Dark One collapsed the universes, the ground rumbled, and giant trees splintered and fell. Demons were sent sprawling across the forest floor in Balmaka, as shouts of confusion ripped through the area. A loud crack split the air, as the ground separated, and a long crevice appeared in the forest floor. A geyser of molten lava shot upward, and the demons scrambled away. The ancient trees in the vicinity of the geyser ignited, and flames raced upward towards the canopy. The crevice widened, and lava began to flow out of it as large pieces of land sunk into the quickly forming molten pool. Within minutes, the pool of lava spread outward to create a molten lake. The burning trees dropped into the lake and disappeared. The demons in the forest were stunned by the upheaval as they crowded around the new molten lake and wondered what had just happened. It was obvious to them that something significant had just occurred, but they did not know what was going on. So they looked expectantly as 3 demons flew into the new clearing and landed near the shoreline of the lake.
"It is the collapse of the universes,"
announced Decavan, one of the new arrivals.
"Our master must be free at last."
A 4th arrival landed, as Decavan continued.
"Soon all of you will have to account for your idleness."
The new arrival pushed his way through the crowd of demons and stood before Decavan.
"Your words are partially true," stated D'Artum. "The upheaval was the collapse of the 7 universes, but our master is not yet free."
"How can that be?" asked Decavan.
"Alyutar was not in one of the 7 collapsed universes, explained D'Artim. "Still, there will be an accounting of our wastefulness over the last millennium. I fear our master will not be pleased by our idleness."
"D'La Sindh and I have not been idle," retorted Decavan.
"We have been working hard to pit the dwarfs and elves against one another."
"And I have been faithful as well," added D.Y. Karam. "I have been driving away the followers of the gods from their temples in the human world."
"The deeds of you 3 have been noted," declared D'Artim. "But there are many here who will bear the disfavor of Alyutar."
"Who are you to speak with authority?" scowled one of the idle demons.
"I have spoken with the master," stated D'Artim, "and he is not pleased."
"Praise Alyutar!"
shouted one of the idle demons.
"Praise our master!"
shouted another, but most of the demons looked worried. The demons knew that they had forsaken their duties, and while they cherished the return of their master, they also feared his arrival.
"You have spoken to Alyutar?" asked Decavan. "Why is he not free? What did he say?"
"The ancient prophecy has begun," declared D'Artim. "The Dark One has been anointed, and Alyutar has been promised freedom within 1 year, but our master is not a trusting one. He has ordered me to prepare for his return, and it will take all of our efforts to accomplish what he desires. The time for idleness is over. Those who please me will also please our master. I do not need to remind any of you what happens to those who displease Alyutar."
Decavan stared at D'Artim. The demon recognized a push for power when he saw one, and he had a decision to make. He could fight D'Artim for power, or he could support him. Looking around, D'Kavan saw that many of the other demons had similar thoughts. He quickly made up his mind.
"I stand with you, D'Artim," D'Kavan announced. "Tell me how to please our master."
"I also am eager to serve faithfully," declared D'Lessind.
"And I agree," added D'Wykerum. "Tell us what is required."
D'Artim smiled thinly, as the other demons were forced to accept his rule. The only three who could possibly have raised an objection to his rule had just sworn allegiance.
"If promises are kept," explained the head demon, "Alyattar will be with us in 1 year, but our master expects to be cheated by the Dark One. As no one can best the great demon, Alyattar has made alternate plans unknown to the Dark One, but they too are subject to outside interference. What is required of us is to prepare for yet another alternate path for the return of our Lord."
As D'Artim spoke, a black cloud spread through the sky, and the sun dimmed until it could no longer be seen. The demon stared upward in confusion.
"There is our Lord," D'Artim announced as he pointed upward. "If his plan works, he will rejoin us here in 20 years' time."
"And if his plan fails?" asked D'Kavan.
"Then our plan must succeed," answered D'Artim. "I will need the help of everyone here, and even that will not be enough."
"Not enough," frowned D'Wykerum. "What plan could possibly require more than all of the demons?"
"One that brings the entire world to war," smiled D'Artim. "The screams of misery and despair must issue from 1 million mouths at the same time."
"Any one of us could start a war," D'Lessind said. "There is something that you are not telling us."
"There is much that I have not explained yet," D'Artim nodded. "While you might be able to possess a ruler and cause him to attack his neighbor, Alyattar is demanding much more from us. We must bring every nation and every race into the coming conflict, regardless of who the rulers are."
"Inconceivable," objected D'Lessind. "There are not enough of us to accomplish that. Our ways are through deceit and possession, and those ways take a great deal of time. If a ruler is overthrown, we must start over."
"Or we must utilize creatures who can work more openly," smiled D'Artim.
"Others cannot be trusted to remain faithful to our Lord," objected D'Wykerum. "They may be coerced by the other side."
"Unless they are bound to Alyattar," declared D'Artim with a thin smile.
The demons looked blankly at one another, but a deep frown creased the face of D'Kavan.
"Demonkin?" D'Kavan asked with concern. "They are not dependable. They go insane within days of creation. They are nothing more than playthings."
"These will be dependable," declared D'Artim. "Alyattar has gifted me with the spell needed to create a race of demonkin that will be practically indestructible and yet bound to their duty. These demonkin will infiltrate the human world and spur them into a worldwide war, regardless of who the rulers are. They will be able to go places that we cannot and accomplish acts that we can only accomplish through a surrogate."
"Such as?" asked D'Kavan.
"Such as securing young elf women from the re-education centers of the Federation," answered D'Artim.
"Elf women?" asked D'Lysind. "Why elves?"
"It is what the spell requires," shrugged D'Artim.
"Well," mused D'Kavan, "we have plenty of time to dwell upon that problem. 20 years may be like nothing to us, but it is a long time to the elves and humans."
"We have no time at all," reported D'Artim. "The plan that I discussed with our master needs to be started immediately. If the ancient prophecy unfolds as he suspects, strong nations will evolve on both continents. We need to start putting people in place immediately. We have a new religion to create."
"A new religion?" questioned D'Wykerum. "What are you talking about?"
"Our demonkin will be priests of this new religion," explained D'Artim. "It is the religion that will move the people regardless of the rulers."
"And who will the people worship?" asked D'Kavan.
"We cannot have them pray to Alyattar, or we will alert our enemies, and we dare not give any of the gods the power that such worship entails." "They will worship Alyattar," replied D'Artim, "but he will not be called such. We shall use another name for our Lord, and the people will worship him. He shall be known as Balmak, in memory of this place.
What of Balmaka? Asked Delysind. If the universes are collapsed, this forest is no longer ours alone. I flew over human cities on my way here.
And ogres, added D.Y. Karam. They are already swarming the woods east of here.
That is something we can address immediately, replied D.R.Tim. Ogres are easily swayed, and we can use them to keep the humans out. Let us turn Balmaka into a forest of death that the humans will fear to enter. De Kavan will accompany me to get our first elven females, while the rest of you secure our forest of death.